Before I get into my message this morning, I do want to just comment briefly about how blessed and how happy I am for what I've heard about the ladies' conference that was held here yesterday. The count I got was 138 ladies gathered here yesterday. And from what I've read on Facebook from ladies who came and posted, and I received several phone calls about it. What a great reflection it was on our church. People commented about it, what a beautiful church we have and what a beautiful fellowship hall we have. And Sister Lisa and other ladies, they organized it. They had a schedule. The speakers did fabulous jobs from what I heard. And the whole thing was an uplifting experience. Food was good. The singing was good. Had a little shouting. Had some fun, laughter, games they did, and just the lessons. They were all encouraging, pointing to Jesus, pointing to the importance of God's Word in our lives, and pointing to abiding in Christ. And I'm just really, really pleased with how that turned out. Had people from Kentucky, Tennessee, and like I said, they came. And I have to admit, me of little faith, I'll just be honest with you, I did not think people would make the trip. You know, people aren't good about driving 4 hours to get to something or even a couple of hours. But they came, and they were blessed by coming. Originally, they thought, well, we'll set up for 60. And then the next thing they know, well, we're going to set up for 118. And then the last Wednesday, I guess, we said, no, we better bump that up to 130 based on the responses. And they came. And from what I understand, it was a really uplifting time, encouraging time for our sisters. So thank you for doing that. Any testimony, any word or comment about that or anything before we get to the word? Anything on your hearts? Okay. How many of you went? Oh, quite a few hands. God bless you all. Amen. God bless you. Yeah, God bless you, Sister Susan. Appreciate all those that helped. If you got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 10. I'm still sticking to it here this morning. Brother Michael, I appreciate the prayer. I appreciate the whole prayer, but I appreciated the part where you prayed for the pastor to give Christian people something that will help them. And that's the goal. That's my desire in this series of messages that I've been sharing. In the 10th chapter, Jesus gave a commission to 70. And it tells us there that he sent out 70 disciples. Verse 1 said, after these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and place whither he himself would come. I'm just going to read that one verse for my scripture reading, but I want to take a text from the book of Acts, chapter 1. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, this is after Jesus had been crucified. This is after that he had risen from the dead. And the word of God tells us that he appeared before the disciples. And it tells us that he showed himself, and this is in verse 3. That's not my text verse, but it tells us in verse 3 that he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And then he gave his last commission. And in verse 8, it tells us there that he said there, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Spirit is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And my title this morning is Still Move Out, But it's move out places. Move out places. Now, the last couple of weeks, I've been sharing and using a military term that we see when we watch a movie. I don't know if they really do in the military do that. But you watch these movies and all the soldiers are there and the commander says, move out. And they all begin to move out or they begin to advance. And in my sermon last Sunday night, I chose a text to encourage us. And the text was in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 58, where we are instructed to be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. And since the first Sunday of this new year, we've been talking about a harvest. We've been talking about a gathering, about a reaping into the kingdom of God. And we were talking about people who need the Lord. I've been talking about people who need hope. I've been talking about people who need peace in their lives. And I hope that the message has come across that we can search for those things in the world, but the only place that you're really going to find peace, and the only place you're really going to find hope, and the only place that you can find salvation only comes through a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I have focused my thoughts around Luke chapter 10 and verse 2, where Jesus said that the harvest truly is great, but the laborers are few. And he said, pray ye therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. And what Jesus said, what he really said here was, there's lots of people out there who need the Lord right now. He wasn't talking about down the road. He was talking right now. There are a lot of people out there who need the Lord. But Jesus also said, as I read there, that there's a big problem in our world today. And he said that the problem was the laborers. He was talking about the workers. He said the laborers are few. In other words, there's not a lot of people in the field. There's not a lot of Christians actively participating in the harvest. Now, don't get mad at me for saying that. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. I'm just repeating what Jesus said. And there's several reasons why I'm preaching about a need for God's people to move out, for God's people to advance. You know, the Lord doesn't want us standing still. I think we all know that. The Lord didn't save us to just save us to stand still and not do anything in the kingdom of God. I think we all know that. That's not what the word abounding means. When you look up the word abounding, it means thriving. It means prospering. It means flourishing. And I want to make a distinction here. It's not talking about in the things of this world, but it's talking about in the work of the Lord. And I think some people get that definition confused as they are thriving and flourishing in the things of the world and letting them overtake their life instead of what Jesus meant about flourishing in the work of the Lord. And one of the reasons for this message and the messages that I've preached, and I may have a little more to say about this next week, but one of the main reasons is the Word of God oftentimes speaks to us because it wants us to think. It wants us to think. It wants us to think about what we're doing with our lives. And think about the people that you know and to think about the people that you meet. Think about what the Lord's purpose is for you. Think about your place in God's plan. As a pastor, one of the questions that I'm asked a lot of times is, you know, what does God want me to do? And you know, what's God's plan for my life? What's my purpose? And I have to be honest with you, I don't always have a specific answer for them because I believe that God's going to reveal that to you. He's not going to reveal to me what his plan is for you. He's going to reveal to you what his plan is for you and your life in your relationship with him and what his desire for you to do in the work of the Lord. But as I read and as I study the Bible, I think I can give all of you a general answer for your purpose. And as Christians, the Bible teaches us that we are to worship the Lord. You're to make sure that he is number one in your life. And no one but you can ensure that you make certain of that. I can't make certain that the Lord is number one in your life. Only you can do that. The Bible teaches us that we're to love the Lord, that we are to adore the Lord, that we are to give him honor and we are to give him glory. And I can't give you your specific purpose. I can't give your specific work for you as an individual Christian. But your overall purpose is to worship him in your homes, in the church, with your life. The Bible talks about another purpose. And that other purpose is that you and I are to tell people about Jesus. If there's one thing we find in the Bible for our purpose other than worship, this is it. We are to spread the gospel of Jesus. We, brothers and sisters, are to bear the good news. And that good news is that Jesus is our Redeemer. That Jesus forgives, that Jesus saves. That's the message. I'm not telling you anything new. You know that's what our purpose is. If you've been paying attention, my messages since the first Sunday of this year has not been focused specifically on worship. My messages are focusing on the good news. My messages has been drawing attention to the harvest. The Bible said it's great. The Bible said that it is plentiful, but it said the laborers are few. So for this third week of this new year, I want us still thinking about the harvest. My scripture verse this morning, well, I first read it on the very first day of the new year, January 1st. And I focused on our need, as the scripture said, to pray. It said to pray for harvesters who would be able to move out into the fields. And I hope we've been doing that. I hope we just didn't let the message go in one ear and out the other. I hope I've been doing my best to convey to you the need that Jesus said existed and that we should pray for more harvesters in the field. And I hope, as I said, that we've been doing that. And last week, I preached on preparing to move out. And the message of this verse that I want to share this morning is to move out to places. Where are we? Where are we going to go? And, you know, Luke tells us that Jesus selected 70 people, 70 disciples. You'll notice in the scripture that they were referred to, or they were called, the others. That's what they were called. I told you last week that the apostles, they were sent out earlier. And so these others, they weren't as prominent, I guess we could say, as the apostles were. They weren't the big names that were in the group. They were the others. They were the no names. And but that doesn't mean that they were any less able. It doesn't mean they were any less capable. And the reason I say that is because Jesus appointed them. Jesus selected them. Jesus chose them. He picked them. And they were his followers, just like you and I who profess to be Christians today. We are to be followers of the Lord. And he called them to be his delegates. He appointed them as his representatives. He appointed them as his ambassadors. And he had an assignment for them. And he sent these 70 out. And Jesus was giving them a chance to be part of something big. Something big. Now, I don't know if you think about lost souls being saved as something big, but I do. Every person that finds the Lord Jesus Christ precious to their soul, it excites me, it blesses me. It's something big, certainly in that person's life, but it's a big event that takes place. And brothers and sisters, I believe this morning that you and I have also been appointed as others. And the Bible tells us in Hebrews chapter 12 and in verse 1, it says, "Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is sit down at the right hand of the throne of God." Salvation is our gift from God. But at the same time, it involves hard work. Brothers and sisters, being a child of God, being a Christian, involves hard work. I think all of us know here today that anything worthwhile does. Anything that's important or anything that's worthwhile, it requires work. It requires us to give up whatever it is that endangers the relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. As Jesus is in his rightful place today, he's at the right hand of the Father in heaven. He takes great joy in us turning to him. Our desire ought to be to please the Lord with the new life that he has given us. And he loves to see us saved. But faith starts there. It doesn't end there. Faith starts in salvation, but it doesn't end there. And each one of us has been given a divine appointment by the Lord. And if you've been saved, we are now delegates. We are now his representatives. And Jesus gives us a chance to be a part of something big even yet today. So Jesus sent the 70 ahead. This was their chance to be a part of something big. This was their chance to represent Jesus wherever it was that they went. And Jesus appointed them with a purpose. That purpose was to go ahead of him. Go ahead of him. Jesus was going to follow them later. So he sent them ahead. Why? So that they could prepare people for his coming. They were to go ahead and get people ready for Jesus showing up in their lives. Where did Jesus send them? The scripture that I read said that he sent them into every city and place where Jesus was about to show up. Stay with me. I'm going to add another P on our moving out here. We already had P is for prayer. P is for prepare. And today, P is for place. Maybe it's an easy way for us to remember. If you'll remember, I said our new focus for 2023 needs to be people. But maybe this will be an easy way for you to remember all of these. Jesus sent these others, his representative, into places. He sent the 70 into every city and every place. My text verse again said Jesus told them the places they were to go. He said, "Ye are to be witnesses unto me." He said, "Both in Jerusalem and Judea and to Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the world or the earth." Places where people needed to get ready for him, for where Jesus was coming. You know what? Jesus could pass by and touch a soul right here today. He could. If you're here, and I know I'm speaking to God's people right now, but if you're here this morning and you're unsaved, as you're listening to my message, I hope what you're hearing is that I'm speaking to God's people about the importance of reaching you with the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm encouraging God's people to move out and to advance so they can reach out to you and tell you the purpose of Jesus is coming and what his purpose accomplished so that you could be free from the bondage of sin and you could receive the gift of God, which is salvation, and you can begin a new walk as a new creature in Christ. So let's talk about places. How many of you will go somewhere next week? Probably every single one of us will go someplace next week. And let me ask you this morning, do you belong to Jesus? Are you born again? Are you a saved person today? Then you're appointed. You're a representative. You're an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are a representative for Jesus everywhere you go. You think it's important how we act, how we behave, what we do? Sure it is. Because we, if we profess to be a child of God, and listen, you say, well, they don't all know that I'm a child of God. Shame on you. They should know that we're God's children. They should know by the way we live, the way we walk, the way we talk, that we belong to him, that we're one of his children, that we're his representative. And where are you going to go this week? We're all going to go to different places this week. Some of you are going to go to town. That's a place to prepare people for Jesus. Some of you say, well, I'm not going anywhere. I'm going to be home all week long. Well, we're all going to be home at some time this week, right? But we need to remember that home is also a place where we can represent Jesus. We can share Jesus in our homes with our children. We can share them with our spouses. We can share them with our neighbors, our grandchildren that come in. We need to share Jesus with them so that they'll have a love for the Lord and they can get excited about Jesus. Little Bella back there, she has got a lot of excitement. She cannot wait to get to church on Sunday morning. And she comes through those doors, and usually I'm in my office, and usually she'll come in the doors and she'll start hollering, "Brother Andy, Brother Andy." And she'll find me in my office, and she'll pull up a chair, and she'll just start talking to me and sharing me what I can understand about her week. And then I'll say, "Well, let's go out and see Sister Sue and others, and we'll get up and we'll go out." This morning she came in with that kind of excitement, except I came out and she came here and she said, "Let's go to your office." And I said, "Okay." So we went into the office and she sat down in her chair and she began to, with great excitement, tell me about whatever it was she was telling me about. By the way, she's 3. Doesn't need a whole lot of counseling yet. But she's excited about coming here and being here, and that's the way we should be. We should be excited about church. We should be excited about the Lord. We should be excited about being a representative or an ambassador for him. And we are to prepare people. We can't save anybody, but they can't be saved unless they know they have a need to be saved. And that's part of our responsibility, is to help them to understand that need, to prepare them for when the Spirit of God comes knocking on that soul, that they will know what to do at the appropriate time. What about jobs? How many of you have jobs? You represent Jesus in your place of employment. You need to prepare people for Jesus. How about school, kids? A lot of you have been saved. School is a place where you can represent Jesus. Jesus sent the 70 to places that he was about to go, those places that he would get to later. And at some point, he would visit all of those places. Would those people in those places be ready? I think a lot about when we go to places, are those people ready for Jesus? You know, we know what happens when the Lord shows up, don't we? I've been in those services. I've been in those services where the gospel was preached and it pricked the hearts of the unsaved. And they came to the altar and we prayed and we cried and we sang. And they came up and said, I've been saved. Jesus has passed by, and it's a wonderful thing when Jesus shows up. But see, he's dependent on us to help prepare the way. Yes, I'm preaching the gospel. But all of us, we need to go to the city and we need to go to the places that we might be able to prepare them for when Jesus shows up. And, you know, the Bible is just filled with examples. Sister Carver yesterday, Jill Carver, her subject was, what was the title of it again? The Breath of God. And it was she was talking about the Word of God and how the Lord speaks to us. And we can look at God's Word and we can see examples of how God has worked in the lives of others, and that will help us to enable us to do what he's called us to do, to know that he can work in lives of people still today. All we got to do is look back in the scripture. What happened to the woman at the well? What happened to the Ethiopian eunuch? What happened to the Philippian jailer? You know, read those in the scripture. We know those. But what happened was, is Jesus passed by. People were changed. Lives were changed. People were healed. We look today, and if we just understand about sharing the glorious gospel, people's lives can be affected in so many ways, not just the salvation aspect of it, but as I said earlier, people need hope, they need peace, they need marriages put back together, they need families restored, and yes, people need to be saved. But see, God's got a calling for us to go to cities and to go to places to prepare them. And I believe, brothers and sisters, that if we do that, there's going to be a great harvest. The harvest is there. Remember what I said before? Jesus said, the harvest is now. He didn't say it's down the road. He said there's people right now who need Jesus. And brothers and sisters, he's given us this wonderful responsibility to be able to reach out to those that have need and make a difference in their lives. I don't know about you, but I'd like for Jesus to show up at all of your places, wherever your places are. We need to pray for those places, and we need to pray that those places get ready for Jesus. Pray that those places are prepared for when Jesus shows up. And brothers and sisters, again, we are all to be harvesters. God's word doesn't exclude anybody. Your field of harvest may be different from my field, my city, my place. But I'm still praying for you in your places. And I trust that you're praying for me in my places. And praying that we'll be preparing people for Jesus. I want you to stop and think for a few minutes about where your places of influence are. There may be places of influence that you have that it never occurred to you. You never even thought about, well, that's a place for me to be a harvester. That's a place for me to prepare people for Jesus. Let's follow the example of John the Baptist. In John chapter 1, beginning in verse 6, it tells us, there was a man that was sent from God. And it tells us that this man's name was John. And it said, the same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all men through him, meaning Jesus, might believe that he, John the Baptist, was not the light, but that he was sent to bear witness of the light. That's our job right there. We need to be like John the Baptist. It's not about us. It's about Jesus and about showing him forth as the light. And like John the Baptist, Our message is Christ, the light of the world. And our purpose, brothers and sisters, is to move out into the harvest, into every city and into every place, and lead men and women and children to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Prepare them for when the Lord pricks their heart and makes them know that they're separated from God and that they need to be in a relationship with Him. Jesus said, the harvest is great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore, the Lord of the harvest, that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. I can tell you that I have been praying that prayer for some time. The need is great. There's many out there that need the Lord. We've got a great responsibility. Brother Steve, I want to have a song. I want to have a song of invitation. Of course, this altar is always open to the unsaved. If you're here this morning and you're unsaved, this is a good time to find Jesus precious to your soul. If you know within your own heart that you've never been saved, I believe we sang in our choir today, I can tell you the time, I can take you to the place where the Lord saved me by His marvelous grace. If you don't have that, and you know you don't have that, then you know that you're separated and apart from the Lord and you need Jesus. And as we have this song of invitation, we extend it to you to come and seek the Lord. But I specifically want to give an invitation this morning for church membership. I've been talking about the harvest. I've shared the words of Jesus that the laborers are few. There may be someone here this morning that wants to be a part of the harvesters here at Crossroads Missionary Baptist Church. And I want to give that invitation. If you'd like to become a member here and help in the work that we're doing here, we receive members a couple of ways. If you've been saved, that's the criteria. If you haven't been saved, don't come and join the church. Come and kneel at the altar and pray for salvation. But if you've been saved by the grace of God and not been baptized, we'll receive you into our fellowship by baptism. If you've been saved and you've been baptized into another church, Missionary Baptist Church, like Faith and Order, like this one, we'll receive you on a credit of a letter from that church. If you've been saved and joined a church that's not the exact same as ours, but you found this to be a home and a place where the truth is preached, and you want to be a part of it, then we'll receive you by baptism and rebaptize you. So that's how we receive people into our membership. God is good, and Christian people have a work. And Brother Michael, that's my encouragement these last few weeks and this morning to God's people, to just refocus this year. Let's not be complacent with those people that are around us. I don't know about you, but as I've said before, the Lord's going to be passing by, and He's going to be passing by one last time at some point. And what I mean by that, He's going to come back. He's going to gather together His own, and we'll all stand before the Lord and give an account for ourselves of the things that we've done, good or bad. Only those who have been saved by grace through faith is He going to say, enter in, good and faithful servant. Those who have not been saved, who have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, they're going to hear, depart from me, O workers of iniquity. I never knew you. And as the Bible says, be cast into the lake of fire, or be cast into hell. There won't be any do-over. It won't matter how much you cry out in hell with repentance. It's not going to make any difference. We've got to make preparation in this life before we pass from this life. Hence the urgency for harvesters, because there's people out there right now who want to know the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. So let's stand together. If the Lord's drawing you to an altar of repentance, you come. If the Lord is drawing you to become a part of this body of people, you come. Let's stand together. Follow the leadership of the Lord today. You'll be happier if you do.